Put them up here. Your wife, get your hand up there. All the way up. There's no cheating. None of this down here and slips down and you got it open already. Come on, get it up there. I want to see your Bible. Come on there, Jewel. Get your hand up there. Good. Ready? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Go. Hey, you guys that cheated already. Okay. As soon as you got it, stand up and read it out loud. Go ahead. So all of you should have been reading that verse with them. That's right. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. All of us have to submit. Okay? Next passage. Put your Bibles up. Okay, don't bring them down until I say go. Okay? Or I'm going to start collecting coin. And if I can't collect coin, I'll take silent offerings. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Go. As soon as you have it, stand up. Thanks, brother. He was a ventriloquist. He was doing it for you. You cannot stand up until you're ready to read it. You know what Nathaniel was doing? He was getting there and he was looking for it on the page. He's been playing this game for a long time. Yeah. Now look what it says there. The reason for why we need to submit to one another is out of our godly fear for Christ. Bible's up. Bible's up. Come on. This is the best time. This is fun stuff, okay? Come on. Okay. Can't you get your arm a little higher, girl? Oh, that's good. I just don't want you to cheat on me here. Come on, put your hand up. I can see it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Go. Eric Richter, you better have your Bible up next time. I know, you put it up in the air. Frank, are you going to read that thing or are you going to look for it? That's right. Yeah, God's going to hold people in authority accountable for the way that they watch over others. So God is saying there's a check and balance. Yeah. Okay, next passage. Put your Bibles up. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Go. Thank you. That was a little better. Yeah. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. What a beautiful example. Let's look at another passage. Bible's up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. Go. That's right. So remember that when your dad's asking you to do something, it's not as if you're serving your dad or your mom. You're serving the Lord. Yeah. Now, like I said, it has nothing to do with how challenging your employer is. Nothing to do with that. If it's a reasonable kind of thing, in other words, not asking you to dishonor God, you're to do it. I don't want to do it. I understand. I struggle with the same thing. But you need to do it. And you need to do it as unto the Lord. Next passage. Bible's up. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Go. Yeah, so if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. Okay, this is for David at the back. Ready, David? David, are you ready? Okay, Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. We're going to let David take this one. He stood up at the same time as Philip, that's why. Good and loud. So the greatest among us is going to be a servant. How many of you want to be the greatest? I'm putting my hand up. I want to be great in God's kingdom. I want to be great in God's kingdom. Don't you want to be great in God's kingdom? Corny, ask your wife how you can serve her today. Go ahead. I want to hear you ask her. Come on now. Not how she can serve you, Corny. John, your wife is two seats over. What? Oh yeah, she's pretty bright. There's a halo there. Why don't you ask her how you can serve her? Sorry. It just naturally flows off my lips that way. Yeah. Another passage. Bible's up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Go. Dirk, I want you to read this. Yeah, I know you wanted to give up on slavery. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. Okay, so Dirk said it. He's making himself a slave to all of us, okay? I had that marked right in my Bible. This is for Dirk. Okay, Bible's up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Go. Okay, you guys, you keeners, are going to sit down now. We got one more. Okay, Bible's up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Yeah, you can keep your Bible down. Yeah, you're good now. You're good to go? Oh, okay, don't go. Go. That's right. Not resentful. It's pretty easy to become resentful when we're mistreated. As we come to 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the context of the book, Paul has been dealing with the aspect of honoring. And so far we have looked in chapter 5, okay, just go back there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, talk about honoring people of different ages, verses 1 and 2. Then you'll remember I had a message on widows, verses 3 to 16, honoring widows. And then verses 17 to 25 talks about honoring elders in our local assembly. And so now we come to a fourth group, and this is about slaves making sure that they honor their masters. And then as we go on to chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, we're going to be dealing with the importance of the rich, another group of people that we have to look at, and there's going to be some specific admonitions for them. Here's a few questions before we look at a couple other passages. We read the passage. Let me ask you this question. Should we be concerned about what others think? Should we obey our bosses or our employers in all cases? Does it matter if you stand up for your rights? When should you do that, and when shouldn't you do it? Are Christians to be part of unions? Should we speak up when others are unfairly treated? Just think about those questions. And right now you're probably saying, depends. How many of you thought that? It depends. Yeah. There could be yes and no to all of those questions. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, we need to consider those that we serve worthy of utmost respect. I've worked for some pretty hard people. Back in my teenage years, there was a man who would take advantage of me as much as he possibly could and did treat me somewhat like a slave. I look back on it and say, you know, those were pretty important days for me to learn to submit and to learn to respect, even as difficult as that was. And I can remember some of the tasks I was called upon to do. And I remember thinking, now how would the Lord Jesus have me respond? Well, start with praying for the guy. So here I would be doing the task that he had asked me to do, and I'd start praying. Lord, I pray that my attitude would be right. Pray that I do it exactly the way he wants me to do it. And Lord, may it not show that somehow I think I'm being unfairly treated. And that somehow, Lord, by your mercy and grace, you're going to draw that person to yourself. So why is it that God would expect us to serve our masters, our employers, with the utmost respect? Look at the verse. There's two reasons. First reason is so that God's name may not be slandered. Can you imagine going to work and your boss asks you to do something, not necessarily unreasonable, but he's got an attitude. And you decide to snipe back because, you know, in our free Western culture, we can sort of get away with a little bit of sarcasm and a little bit of attitude. It seems that our kids catch on to that pretty quickly. That's not really what we want to be teaching people, and certainly not the way we as believers should be acting. And you call yourself a Christian? Don't give me any sass. You sort of say, that's probably because I didn't respond properly. Now, it might not dawn on you. You might even get even more critical. That would be dangerous. It certainly wouldn't help you. You sort of say, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, I mean, the guy has no right talking to me like that. Whether you think he has a right or doesn't have a right has nothing to do with it. Well, everybody deserves respect. I need respect. Well, I know that you feel entitled to that. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords deserved respect. But they spat upon him. They placed a crown of thorns upon him. And they crucified him. There was no respect. Let's go to Matthew 11, 29 to 30. Now, I want you to think about this passage, Matthew 11. Lord Jesus knew about slavery. He saw it all around him. Would you consider yourself a slave of Christ? How many of you would say that you are a slave of Christ? Put your hand up. I sure hope all of our hands would go up. All of us should consider ourselves slaves of Christ. So I say, well, what does that entail? It means that you and I would be prepared to do whatever it is that Jesus would tell us to do. Everything? Everything found in his word. What does that mean to pray for your enemies? That would be difficult to do, wouldn't it? What does it mean to submit to one another, as we read in Ephesians? Matthew 11, 29 and 30 says this, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke was used to control. Oftentimes, slaves would be put in a yoke, especially if they were disobedient and they were going to be sold. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Well, that's not the kind of slavery the world gives, though. This is completely different, and that's certainly the point. Yeah, but you're saying that Jesus would expect me to obey harsh leaders. That's correct, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. You mean Jesus expects me to do that? Yes. You mean Jesus did that? Yes. I find that hard. Yes. How can I do it? By following his example. Now, boys and girls, I know some of you feel like you're in slavery. But your moms and dads were nowhere near as harsh as the people who crucified the Lord. And nowhere near as hard as those who oppressed and abused slaves back in those days when Jesus lived. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be going through this passage in our ABF, but let's just read it. Just a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? There's no credit for that. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." There's a second reason. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. "Is so that the apostles' teachings might not be slandered." Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Interesting statement that Paul makes here. He's not saying that you shouldn't be free. And by the way, a slave oftentimes would get a minimal amount of compensation for the work that they would do. And with time, they would save up so that hopefully in time, they would be able to buy out their freedom. Now, for you to buy a slave, it would normally, the average wage to buy a slave out on the slave market would be about a year and a half's wages. So let's look at the average income in the province, at least north in around the, let's say, $45,000 to $50,000 a year. So just imagine it would cost you roughly around $65,000 to buy a slave. How many of you are planning on buying one tomorrow? No. No, I can't see myself doing it. Plus, you would think about compensating them. You'd do room and board, and you'd pay for them so that they could clean your house, so they could wash dishes, so that they could basically take care of, maybe be a business manager and so on. Say, hey, hold on, I got people who work for me. Yeah. I treat them way better than slaves. Hold it. Some slaves were actually well treated. Some were not. Some employees today are well treated, well compensated. Some are not. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21 to 24. Listen to what it says. Were you called a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was called a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each of you, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. Paul wasn't saying, let's have a revolution and let's somehow abolish slavery. He says, no, let's work with it. And let's recognize who we're enslaved to. There's a third reason, and we made reference to it in 1 Peter 2:18-25, but we're going to go back to 1 Peter now. We're going to go to chapter 3, verse 17, 1 Peter 3:17. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about. Maybe it's lunch. That's okay. But maybe there's somebody here today that say, you know something? I can't stand my job. My boss doesn't appreciate me. I'm not making enough. I don't have any benefits. Then you look down and say, well, yeah, I'm self-employed. No, maybe it's not like that at all. Maybe it is a very difficult situation. What am I going to do about that? There are people out here in the workforce and say, you know something? Hey, the guy down the road pays 50 cents more an hour. I'm going to go and work for him. And you don't even give him a chance. You don't go talk to him. You just say, hey, 2 weeks' notice, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Something wrong with that picture. What does loyalty look like? Loyalty really oftentimes has very little to do with the kind of pay that maybe you would like or think that you're entitled to. Loyalty oftentimes is about friendship. It's relationship. And so when we think of the New Testament, I want you to realize that Paul is talking about relationship. 1 Peter 3:17. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Three reasons as to why we should serve. So I've never been mistreated. Pretty good. Not bad. But I'll tell you what, if there was somebody offered me $1 or $2 more an hour, I think I'd jump at it. And I would say that you're foolish. Well, hold it, man. You don't know what I'm trying to do. I mean, I've got a mortgage, I got a boat I just bought, and I've got to buy a new car next year. I'm saying, yeah, you're right. You got all these things that you want. But what about the seed of loyalty that you're seeking to plant and cultivate? What about the quality of your work? How important is that? What value can you put on a relationship? It's priceless. Verse 2. What about believing masters? Oh, that's simple. They're easy. They're easy to work for. Man, if I worked for a believer, that's just got to be the easiest thing there is. What if I said to you that working for believers is one of the most difficult things? Why? Why is that? Well, maybe believers expect you to give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. Really? I only give 6 now at work and get paid for 8, and I still think I work too hard. There's part of our problem, by the way, in Canada, a lack of productivity. What are we going to do about it? Well, as Christians, I think we need to really make sure that we work hard. We do it with joy, with the right attitude. What is your motivation for serving? Paul says to Timothy, when you speak to the church at Ephesus, and although there are masters who are hard and difficult, I want you to tell the believers who are working for believing masters that they need to do so with joy, and they need to even work that much harder. So I thought they were giving their best with their unbelievers. Yes, of course. You say, well, what's the point of that statement? The point is that you need to ensure that you're not taking advantage of a believer and appealing to the idea, well, because I'm a believer, I deserve a break. No, you're not to do that. But believers shouldn't be so harsh. They shouldn't be so hardened, so accounting. Why not? Well, I don't expect that of believers. That's right. That's the problem. By the way, what does God expect of you? So I think I got it. Go over to Colossians 3:23. That's a sword drill. First one's got it. You read it. Colossians 3:23. Come on, Nathaniel. Okay, Cameron. That's right. You know, in our society and Western civilization with all its freedom, you know, we can become quite selfish, unfortunately, and even have attitudes of entitlement. And I realize that that's a daily struggle for each of us, and I want to include myself in that statement, and in fact, in all the statements I've made here this morning. Now, there's times when you and I look at others and we say, man, that's selfish, or they think they're entitled to that. But it's really important not to spend your time judging everybody else, but rather look into the mirror of God's Word, and then reflect upon your own attitude about your work, your employer. Now, we've looked at all kinds of passages here today that communicate the fact that the greatest concern the Lord has for you and for me is in terms of our service to others, our willingness to serve with excellence, even when it's difficult. It doesn't mean that everything that you're going to do is going to turn out perfect. Chances are it won't. Rarely does it turn out perfect because there are circumstances at times that are beyond your control. You see, the passage here in 1 Timothy 6 has to do with surrender. Just write that down in the palm of your hand. Surrender. You say, well, what do you mean the palm of my hand? Jesus did. It took a spike. Surrender. Took a cross. Surrender. What do you want me to surrender? Surrendering, yes, our rights. Surrendering our position. Surrendering our possessions. Surrendering our power. All for the sake of Christ. That's what the Lord desires of each of us. And when you do that, guess what? You are waging war on this world. We are. It's completely upside down. It's laying your life down for the sake of others. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. No, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Living with that attitude is very important. Being willing to give up, surrender. Being willing to serve, willing to submit. So I say, well, why was Paul so intent on this? What was going on in Ephesus? Well, we'll pick up on that next time we get together, probably in about 4 weeks. We're going to talk about how the false teachers had polarized the church and how the church became divided and how believers were turning on each other and how slaves were saying, listen, I'm not taking that anymore. Sounds a lot like our day, doesn't it? Lord, give you wisdom. May you enjoy the work that you have. If you don't have good work, it may have something to do with your not so good heart, not so good attitude. You say, well, listen, what constitutes a good job? A good job is any job that you might have that you might do for the Lord. That whoever that you serve because you love Christ. Well, that's a tall order. That's one that each of us has to consider. I can't do it for you. I can't judge you in your place of work. Got my own fish to fry. Got my own challenges. Oh yeah, it's easy. You just work for God. You think God's that easy, right? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. The more I learn, the more I realize that I'm not the servant I need to be. But I want to be. I'm trying to sort that out. I'm trying to figure out how I can serve better and submit and to walk humbly so that each of us here can be rewarded when we stand before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, you understand us completely. You know the challenges that we face at work. Sometimes we hear things we don't really want to hear. We have people maybe disrespect us, take advantage of us. Sometimes, Lord, we'd have to confess at times when we retaliate. We slander people. In so doing, we slander your name. In so doing, we slander the teaching of your word. And we discredit you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to take to heart. Help us to be willing to submit even to a government that isn't godly. And even when we read about laws that just don't make any sense, help us to figure out, Lord, how we can live before you in a way that would be honoring and draw people to yourself. Give us strength for the day. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for their love and determination to walk by faith. Bless them in their places of work, and may they work with all their heart as unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Next week, Harvest Festival. There